JG2. Number 1B.
We want to then touch this evening on, just again in a big tour, how we look at that journey from the personal I to the I am, from the mortal mind to the human mind to the divine mind. It's really a beautiful journey, one that I take always, well, the introductory class through, which I've done this year, this journey from mind to mind in over many hours. And of course, this is a journey that Max Kapler has taken us on in his little booklet, The Ordered Approach to the One Being, which is 28 pages. But also, it's a journey which we see is in outline form, the contents of that booklet, which I'm sure many of you have looked at many, many times. That is on page 58 in the study aid, where we see that we can make really that journey from the personal I to the I am, from the human mind to the divine mind, without fearing at all that we're going to lose any part of our individual identity. It's complete mysticism that says that one gets sucked up into the undifferentiated whole. That we see that it's the nature of science, really, that we maintain our individual identity, and that really all we really gain through allowing an awareness to happen to us through culturing consciousness with the structure of being and its laws, really seeing that, as Mrs. Eddy defined, principle God as a comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws, which is the basis of universal science. As we begin to identify our consciousness with those laws, we never lose our identity. In fact, we just gain a diviner sense of that identity, as being an individual, unique expression of the laws of being in operation. So one needn't fear that this is at all, we know, any sense of mysticism when one takes in consciousness a step-by-step journey, we would say, from sense to soul, from the human mind to the divine mind standpoint. So if you have the study aid here with you, you can turn to page 58. Otherwise, I have a general outline of the subject that I'm going to talk about. And just take us, as I said, on a general tour of the subject, because it's so important. It's something that is so basic to our understanding of science and so basic to understanding what we'll be doing this week in opening up that standpoint of the 8,000-year period. Now, what we have here really is the ordered steps to the oneness with being, resolving the personal I into the I am. This Kapler shows on page 17 in the ordered approach to the one being. Just the basis for such a subject we can see is in the Bible, and also we will see in the textbook. It's actually the core. This subject is the core of the Christian Science textbook, the science of the Christ translation. The science, which is, of course, that 6,000-year period of truth, the Christ reflecting the Christ, as given to us in the chapter Science, Theology, and Medicine, gives us the backbone of the textbook, as we know. So looking at page 17 in the Ordered Approach to the One Being, I just want to read a paragraph here that sets the tonality of this subject that we're going to look at here briefly together. Max says on page 17 under the heading 5, the simultaneity of the ascending and descending way, he says, in the oneness of being, everything happens in the now. Being knows no time, no linear thinking. in which one step follows another in a succession of separate stages. From the standpoint of being, everything happens simultaneously. But we cannot grasp this at first. We need, as it were, a ladder let down from heaven to help us climb up to heaven rung by rung. This is symbolized by Jacob's ladder. In his dream, Jacob saw a ladder on which the angels of God, God's thoughts, were ascending and descending. See Genesis 28:12. The Old Testament realizes that thoughts must first rise from the earth to heaven and only then come down from heaven to earth. Jesus says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." John 3:13. Here the sequence is reversed from the Jesus standpoint. First, the descending, which is really a looking down from heaven, and then the ascending. These two statements between Jacob and Jesus appear to contradict each other, but spiritually they do not, when we see that they start from two different standpoints. The first statement from the Old Testament starts from the standpoint of the Word of God. It shows the approach to God. The second text from the New Testament starts from the standpoint of the Christ. It shows the coming down of the I Am to man, in which the I Am never leaves heaven. The first statement teaches that thoughts which rise up to God and then stay on that high level have an effect on the earth, that they, as it were, descend. If one has made the first statement one's own, then the second statement, that this descends from heaven to earth, the Christ operation, once again brings about a new ascending from earth to heaven. In this way, it comes full cycle and circle. Linear thinking, so characteristic of mortals, leading from a beginning to an end, is resolved. Only when we understand this do we touch the one being, which cannot be divided, and the eternally unfolding process which brings to light the true man consciousness in us. For fundamentally, it is all a matter of the Son of Man, which is in heaven, which really is the standpoint of the 8,000-year period, never to ascend or descend again. Thank goodness. So we see then this ascending and descending is a way then that Mrs. Eddy also has shown this, but in her more abstract terminology, as the first and second translation, as given to us on page 115 and 116 in the textbook, and of course also given to us in the study aid. We have this subject on page 49 and 50. The study aid, you know, now I'll always say study aid, referring to a study aid on the science of Christian Science by Max Kapper, will now be called just the study aid. But on pages 49 and 50 in the study aid, this I believe is page 50, we see that this is just showing the same ascending and descending way going on, but as Mrs. Eddy explained it, as the same as Jesus, that no man ascended up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, really showing in her terminology of the textbook that what she gives on page 115 and 116, she always starts out, we see there first, it's in print of course, the scientific translation of Immortal Mind, which we call the first translation. There she shows that it's always a question that principle God is always translating what it is as idea. Meaning that one principle God is always translating its nature down to the standpoint of specific ideas, which ultimately means that we are that one principle and its laws, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining that one principle, God. It's because of this office of the Christ, which is a biblical way of showing in the world. They have other ways of calling it. It's the process, or they often call it the black box in cybernetics, showing that there is this translation and retranslation going on in being, where the higher always can translate itself to the lower according to the laws of translatability within the wholeness and holistic structure of being. There are these laws of translatability going on. And so therefore, in the biblical terminology, which of course Mrs. Eddy picked up and will work throughout the week with, of course, the terminology that is breaking in on the world today, which is saying the same thing but through different symbols, showing really then that this principle, God, translates itself as idea. And when principle presents itself as idea, or presents its nature to the universe, including man, then that always has an impact. That principle is always operating under every situation, revealing it, the universe as being a principle idea universe, a principle idea earth, a principle idea all mankind, a principle idea me, a principle idea you, a principle idea everyone. We are the idea of principle. We're the image and likeness of a principle. You could call us a divine holographic image, something that we spend a lot of time showing, taking the metaphor of a holographic image from the world and seeing that, well, all right, you could say that we're a divine holographic image. We exist as an image in the principle, and we're the image of a principle. Therefore, we know that Mrs. Eddy therefore used Webster's definition of idea as an image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. Man is nothing but an idea, nothing but an image or reflection coming from a principle. We are not the original source. Therefore, it is impossible to destroy man. The only way that man can be destroyed as idea or a divinely holographic image, if you like, is if you destroyed the original plate, and the original plate being principle God cannot be destroyed. So therefore, man is indestructible in science. And that is something that we are understanding, of course, in the science of Christian Science, and it is step by step being seen slowly in the world today. So as idea, we are an image in the divine mind, and therefore, as principle presents what we are as an ideational universe, an ideational earth, an ideational all mankind, as spiritual, it acts simultaneously. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. Simultaneously, that analyzes the first degree of depravity, which is really the realm of the physical, as Mrs. Eddy shows in her second translation of Mortal Mind. Right away, that light analyzes the Adam dream, the belief that principle God can be turned into its opposite, into a realm of friction, duality, electromagnetism, all that that goes on in that friction universe. That it handles that whole realm of mortal mind and its effect, and it immediately translates us from the first degree of mortal mind through a transitional state called the second degree of the moral or the human, where evil beliefs, or really we could just say false beliefs or false misunderstanding of reality, begin to disappear, the standpoint of the human mind, which is a transitional standpoint, finally into the realm of the divine mind. Now we know that there's only one mind, the mind which is God. these terms, mortal mind, she says she entertains as a solecism in writing. It doesn't exist, but it's there as a convenience to let us know that when we don't go out from the standpoint of seeing the world as God sees the world, then, and we go out from the second record of creation or calculating with the two-valued Aristotelian logic of the first degree, then we would say we have quote-unquote mortal mind. It's just a mind, it's just our consciousness entertaining false concepts about reality. As we begin to, the light begins to appear to consciousness through the first translation, mortal mind, we are led to the standpoint of the human mind, which is a transitional state between the first degree and the third degree. That human mind is sometimes influenced by the second record of creation, or that the belief of duality, or taking in the two-valued logic realm of this Aristotelian logic, rather than the third degree. Then we would say that it's a mortal human mind. The human mind as such is neutral. It's either entertains false beliefs of the first degree, as I say, taking in the two-valued logic of reality, or it takes in the one-valued logic of the divine mind, which shows that God is all in all, and if God is all in all, it doesn't allow for any opposite to God to exist. So the human mind is neutral, either it is entertaining false concepts or what we would call divine concepts. As those concepts begin to be purified, by looking more and more to the third degree, to the divine system of reference, to the universal, to seeing the world through the universal laws of science, that begins to rarefy consciousness, and therefore consciousness on the human begins to think more and more in divine concepts, finally in perfect concepts, finally just in ideas of the universal laws of science. And Mrs. Eddy says that when consciousness goes out from the pure standpoint of principle and its universal laws, it says, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. So we see that in the third degree, it's just states and stages of consciousness. That's all. It's all life is in and of spirit here and now. It's just a question of states and stages of awareness. That as we then, as consciousness is filled with the allness of principle in its ideas, of mind in its ideas, of spirit in its ideas, of soul, principle, life, truth, and love in its ideas, as they're operating on the different levels of consciousness according to a fourfold process of laws, when that happens in the third degree, naturally, we're focused. Mortal mind disappears. When mortal mind disappears, the human mind disappears, and we're only going out from the divine mind. We really are on that standpoint where the Son of Man is in heaven, never to ascend or descend again. Our natural state, that's really here and now. It's just beholding in science the perfect man, where sinning mortal man appears to mortals, and this correct view heals the sick. Something Mrs. Eddy expected of us, to be normal and natural, to be going out from beholding in science the perfect universe, the perfect earth, the perfect all mankind, something that isn't so easy for us to do when other types of calculation are going on all the time around us. So, therefore, this translation and retranslation is the backbone behind these eight ordered steps to oneness with being. And I only want to take them generally because they, you know them. Many of you have exercised with this subject many, many times. I just wanted to build up a general atmosphere. Certainly, I'm not teaching this subject. That's something that is done. It's just a tour through it to build up standpoint. So just looking at it in big, broad brushstrokes, we see then that we know that principle God always translates itself to us on the first translation through the descending way, causing us to go from the first degree of the physical to the mental. Now we see that step one here is all is mental. One of the students in the other class on the West Coast said, well, why don't we say, well, step one is all is physical insofar as we're coming from the first degree of the physical to the second degree of the mental and into third degree of the spiritual. Well, why does Christian Science begin with all is mental? It is because, as we see, Mrs. Eddy in the first degree doesn't give the first degree a value. She says that whole realm of the physical, of the first degree, is a realm of unreality. She shows very, very clearly that she discovered, and certainly the world knows this today, that whole objective matter, that whole objective universe of matter and energy, atoms and the stars, does not exist except as a construction of consciousness, as I say, has been shown to us in that book, The Universe and Dr. Einstein by Lincoln Barnett. Mrs. Eddy's way of saying it was that matter is just the subjective state of mortal mind. Therefore, she says that its mind is the cause of all effects. Therefore, that any physical effect is just some belief objectified. If the physical effect is good, then it's some good universal, collective, or individual belief objectified as good. On the mental realm I'm talking about. If the physical effect is such that it seems to be sick or inharmonious, then that's because of some universal or collective belief has objectified itself on the body, causing the sickness. The cause is always mental. So therefore, it's some false belief entertained that is causing the sickness. And she makes that very, very clear in Science, Theology, and Medicine, the sixth chapter at the medicine point, where we took that chapter together, and Max has taken it together, and we've done classes on that chapter, where we see there at the medicine point of Science, Theology, and Medicine, she makes it very clear that the physical effect is due to a mental cause, some universal, collective, or false belief entertained, and therefore she says it's a false belief that has to be healed. Therefore, how can a surgeon's knife cut out a false belief? How can a drug heal a false belief? A drug is just another false belief trying to heal a false belief. Because all the power a drug has is in what the universal belief behind the herb or the chemical or whatever. It's the belief behind the drug that gives it power. We know that through the work of placebos and work on homeopathy. They know that today. So that how can a drug heal a belief? How can a surgeon's knife heal a belief? It's only the science of ideas that can correct false beliefs entertained. So, therefore, the work in Christian Science that we know begins with the second degree. It begins with all is mental, because the physical is just the effect of the mental cause. So we might as well start with the cause, which is all is mental. Now, the first two steps here, all is mental, and the mental is good and evil, is within the realm of metaphysics, but within the realm of ordinary metaphysics. We know that then ordinary metaphysics is in the world today, especially we've seen recently on television the Bill Moyers' account of the healing mind, where he took up his premise from all is mental, showing that therefore the mental can be either good or evil, showing therefore on that second step that if you have a good mentality, you have a good experience, showing that the work today in research is such that they show that the brain, when people are thinking happily and positively, excretes one of the most powerful antibiotics that is known today, called endorphins. They show that if man is thinking happily, then through their work on psychoneuroimmunology, or the brain's control of the nervous system, they see that the brain excretes this powerful drug called endorphins, which is an antibiotic which can heal any type of illness on the mental realm. They see that the opposite is true. Bill Moyers brought out from this mental realm of ordinary metaphysics that if one has a bad mentality or thinks negatively, that there's another chemical, I'm not quite sure of its name, that is secreted, and it does the opposite. It breaks down the immune system within the individual. So that whole program that we have seen then on television with The Healing Mind, and Bill Moyers has his book out on it, is just the step one and two. That the mental can be good or bad, it's just according to us, we have to decide which way we're going to look at it. Naturally, we all like to have the good mentality. But we say in Christian Science today, what kind of standard do we have on the ordinary metaphysics to judge whether what we're thinking is good or evil? We have naturally our education from the schools, which build up some kind of understanding in us, which usually boils down to just some kind of common sense within us to say, well, this is good, this is bad. Maybe what the minister says, what the scientists of today in quantum physics says is good, whatever model of reality that we're following, whatever path, whatever model we use to follow some type of central order in order to build our values on some type of compass that we use. Everybody has a compass to align themselves with some central order, as Heisenberg, the physicist, came to the conclusion that we all have values and we all try to take some type of compass by which we align ourselves to some type of central order, whatever we call it. But how do we know that aligning ourselves to this central order, that what we call good is actually evil to the divine standpoint? How do we know that that the system of reference that we are using to judge good and evil from ordinary metaphysics stands up or holds water out from that absolute divine standard of reference? And therefore is where the Christian Science and Mrs. Eddy's teaching makes the break there at step three and goes into divine metaphysics. Still, it's still metaphysics, but as Christian Scientists, we go on and leave the realm of ordinary metaphysics and go on into the realm of divine metaphysics, where we say that there is an absolute standard of values, of reality values, upon which we can judge what is real from what is unreal. And that absolute standard of reality values has been given to us through the overall structure of the Bible and through the overall structure of science and health, as given to us really when we take the 3,000 pages of the Bible and the 300 pages of the textbook, we can see that the capitalized terms from the Bible and the textbook give us then the system or standard from which we say is an absolute standard in being, from which we gain the reality values of being. Really, those reality values that we can identify with, that which ultimately identify ourselves with that science or principle, which is God, which is then based on the one mind, which is God.